The reading today is Psalm chapters 86, verses 1 through 7 and verses 14 through 17. Listen to me, Lord, and answer me, for I am helpless and weak. Save me from death, because I am loyal to you. Save me, for I am your servant, and I trust in you. You are my God, so be merciful to me. I pray to you all day long. Make your servant glad, O Lord, because my prayers go up to you. You are good to us and forgiving, full of constant love for all of us who pray, for all who pray to you. Listen, Lord, to my prayer. Hear my cries for help. I call to you in times of trouble, because you answer my prayers. Proud people are coming against me, O God. A cruel gang is trying to kill me, people who pay no attention to you. But you, O Lord, are a merciful and loving God, always patient, always kind and faithful. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Straighten me and save me, because I serve you just as my mother did. Show me proof of your goodness, Lord. Those who hate me will be ashamed when they come to see that you have given me comfort and help. The next reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That is the word of God for the people of God.
Today marks the anniversary of a very important Armistice Day. In 1918, on this very day, November 11th, we were able to have a ceasefire. And the ceasefire occurred after 17 million people were killed in World War I. And so I think it's a good time at this point to just spend a little bit of time. You have a remark to make?
Today at 11:11 will be the 100th anniversary.
That is exactly right. 100th anniversary. Thank you very, very much. Did y'all learn that in school this week? You just knew it. You're brilliant. You are. I want to spend a few moments just in silent prayer, if we can. And as we are in silent prayer, let's remember the millions of people that died in that war. Some were civilians. About 7 million were civilians. But also in World War II and the other wars that we've had since then. And while we are also remembering, let's also remembering a lot of the those who have fallen either in harm in their tabernacle or in their church or at a nightclub or in a wildfire or a flood. Let's just take a moment to remember, if you would. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. Thank you very much for that. So I want us to think about today's scripture psalm in relation to a thing that occurred mostly in World War I, also in World War II, a thing called trench warfare. Trench warfare was the fighting in the trenches. It was a military strategy that came about by digging elaborate tunnel systems and trenches in order to protect you from the artillery of enemy fire. It helped especially when the battle had grown stagnant and there was no pressing forward. And even so, there was a lot of mass slaughter in trench warfare. So it was in this place of entrenched danger, constantly living in the presence of death. Any time of day or night, a bullet or shrapnel could be aimed toward you, take your life or the life of a comrade beside you. It is in this context that a term called trench prayers came about, praying in the trenches. This is when you are in unbearable situations, and trench praying is a kind of supplication. It's a kind of hope that happens as every enemy bullet is being pounced your way. I read about an American veteran who was talking about being a skeptic. He had an article called Skeptical on Prayer, Try Combat. And in this article, he mentioned that some people pray many times a day, some only once a week, some only in a crisis. But in his experience, everyone prays sooner or later. And he said that he remembered thinking about his father, who was a Marine in World War II, who said there are no agnostics in the trenches. There's no atheists in foxholes. And he didn't really believe that until he actually went into the Vietnam War. And he began to think about, you know, how before he says, well, why would I pray to a supreme being that I find is non-existent? But when he went to Vietnam, he realized how much a distress call is a important motivator to a higher power, and that there is a kind of distress call that is woven into our beings. I think this is what David was saying in the psalm this morning. Listen, Lord. Listen, and he's calling out in distress. The short title for this kind of prayer is help. Can you say that with me? Help. Put a little more something into it. Help. There it is. That is the prayer that we're talking about today. Now, there's a writer named Anne Labatt, who was a Presbyterian laywoman, and she shares about her kind of crazy God-awakened faith and a self-discovery she's found for prayer. And she says there really are only three main prayers, and they are the words help, thanks, and well. She calls them the essential prayers. And for the rest of this month, we're going to be looking at these essential prayers and the little book that she writes about. But today is her prayer for help. And I believe Janet Raines has a very simple prayer that, not Janet Raines, sorry about that, Janet. It's the other Janet, DiMartino. Janet's like, what? Help! Janet DiMartino is going to pray this simple prayer for us. That is Anne Labatt's simple prayer for help. And so today we want you just to gather in your being the psalmist's prayer for help. And it seems important, rather obvious as well, that the psalmist simply brings up his messed up life. And he lays it out to God in prayer, and he begins with verse 1, I am helpless and I am weak. It is a condition Charles Spurgeon says as misery being the master argument with mercy. And so this is where the psalmist is. He's in misery and he's saying, I'm helpless, I am weak. He's poor, he's needy. Aren't we all at times? Can I get an amen for that? How do you feel about admitting to being helpless and weak? Some of us stink at that, right? Some of us stink at actually asking for help, and we need this psalm because today is about first acknowledging that we need help. And if you struggle to get the words out, maybe, even if you can't get the words out, help, maybe you can practice using the American Sign Language for it. So give me your palm, put your hand on top that looks like this. Help. Help. All right? If you've fallen on the kitchen floor, I've just fallen, and I need what? You need some help. So let's practice asking for help this week. All of us have one or hundreds of situations where we need help, and it may not be in a war, but we faced sickness, and we faced financial crisis. We faced major life decisions. We faced spiritual questions. We faced doubts, and we need help.
Let the psalmist liberate you today. And if you really want to bring it home, do it with some passion. Do it with me, please. Please help me. Let's do it again. Please help me. All right, let's bring this home. You're in the human race. You can admit your need. In your own trench, you may feel trapped. You may feel that you're trapped in a bad work situation or a bad school situation or a failing relationship. You may feel like you're mired in some kind of sinful, repetitive pattern. You may be lonely and overwhelmed with heartache. It is not a literal trench you dug out, but it is a pit that you are in. And the psalmist lets God know, for him, it is life-threatening. He needs to be saved from some kind of death. He's feeling threatened. He feels like people around him hate him. People can agree that this happens. There are people who pay no attention to what God wants. So if you want to grow closer to God, try this kind of honesty that has hope behind it, this real interaction that God wants from you. We need to bring our messed up lives to God. So another spiritual memoir is written by Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote a book called Eat, Pray, Love that later became a movie. And she was in a very disappointing place in her relationship. She had just gone through a divorce. And the book is all about her finding balance in her life. And guess what? The balance began with a prayer for help. Here is a clip of Julia Roberts playing her character. And that messy moment when she realized she was all wrong and what she did.
Instead, I made a decision to pray. You know, like to God. And it was such a foreign concept to me that I swear I almost began with, I'm a big fan of your work.
Hello, God. Nice to finally meet you. I am sorry, I've never spoken directly to you before, but I hope I've expressed my ample gratitude for all the blessings you've given to me in my life. I'm in serious trouble. I don't know what to do. I need an answer.
Have you ever been in a place where you finally just had to kneel and look down and just let your soul loose with hope? Friends, it's time to fess up. The psalmist never shies away from his issues and his needs, and he doesn't even assume there's a happily ever after God. There's just this place. There's this place where the tension comes together, and he calls to God in trouble. One acronym for God is G-O-D, the gift of desperation. Or as one person once said, I was by the end deteriorating faster than I could lower my standards. So this is the other important part of prayer. I noticed this in Psalm 86, and he not only just tells God honestly that he needs help, but he has a deeper admission. Maybe this is the one we have to begin with today. I cannot fix this on my own. Have you ever discerned that?
I cannot fix this thing on my own. I notice that Psalm 86 has at its core the first three steps of the 12-step program for addicts. And could it be that addicts actually get a head start when it comes to asking for help? Step one in NA or AA is we admit we're powerless over our addiction or our problem and that our lives have become unmanageable. Step two, we come to believe that there's a power greater than ourselves that can actually restore us to sanity. And step three, we make a decision to turn our will over to the care of God as we understand God. So you want another simple help prayer for today? You can try the Serenity Prayer, which Mr. Kimball has here.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
In her book, Anne Lamott describes a kind of childlike faith that she has discovered in prayer. She says in her book that she's developed a process called the God box. And she has a box in a room or several rooms. She has a box, and she will put a notepad beside it. And next to the box on the notepad, she will write the name of a person or one or two words on a note. She will fold it up then, open the lid, put it in, and close the box. And because it is her nature, she would say something pithy like, here, you think you're so big? Fine. You deal with it. Although I have a lot of good suggestions. That's the way she kind of puts her thing in the box. And then she says, in her own words, that she keeps her sticky mitts off the box. She doesn't want to have the pain of holding on to things and not letting go. She says this has led her in her life to a terrible, mad obsession. And so her experience and advice with their prayer exercise is this. It's that what you and I probably have going on with us, we put it in the box. We may not hear a booming voice. We may not see skywriting in the sky. But she says an answer will come. It may come in an email, it may come in a mail, it may come as a phone ringing, it may come as a conversation, it may come as an inner sense or a word that comes straight to you, but you will know. You will hear back. Now, this is especially hard to do for those of us who are used to fixing things on our own. But once again, we have to admit, I cannot fix it on my own. And so I want to end today's message by reading to you some words from her book that she says about this box, and I think these are good words for all of us. When we think we can do it all ourselves, either fix, save, buy, or date a nice solution, it's hopeless. We're going to screw things up. We're going to get our tentacles wrapped around things and squirt our squiddy ink all over so that there is even less visibility. And then we're going to squeeze the very life out of everything. Or we can summon a child's courage and faith and put a note with a few small words in a box and hope that we can get our sucking, inky, squiddy tentacles off of it. We do this without a clue about what will happen, how it will all turn out. You may be saying, it's so awful right now. I'm so mad. I'm so sad and mental that against all odds, I'm giving up. But I'll accept whatever happens. And maybe after you put a note in the God box, you'll go limp. And in that divine limpness, you'll be able to breathe again. Then you're halfway home. In many cases, breath is all you need. Breath is Holy Spirit. Breath is life. It's oxygen. Breath might get you a little rest. You must be so exhausted. With the God box, you're finally announcing to the universe that you can't do it, that you have ruined things enough for the time being. Imagine the burlesque look of surprise on the universe's face, the great cosmic double take, and then God giving you a fist pump. Help. asking for help. So I want to know how you feel about practicing the ask for help this morning. We're going to end this message with a reflection. If you had a box sitting right next to you with a lid, and you had some pieces of paper, what would the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words be that you would be writing on that paper? You may want to do that on your bulletin. You may just want to go home and just start this practice yourself. As you reflect on each of those particular situations for you, can you say the words with me of the psalmist? Turn to me, have mercy on me, strengthen me, and save me. Say it again. Turn to me, have mercy on me, strengthen me, and save me. Or, if you don't want to use words, just simply do this. I want to join us in another prayer as we close today by Thomas Merton, and we're going to say this one together. Would you join me? My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. Sorry. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may not know it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone.